We are reminded by the gospel passages, from the Holy Gospels and the epistles, that there is going to be a separation between the Old Testament commandments and the New Testament spirit that entered in with the crucifixion of our Lord, his entrance into Hades, and his coming back to life to guarantee to us that we have no fear of death, because through his death and resurrection, we will have eternal life when our souls and bodies are reunited and are welcomed into the eternal kingdom. It's very interesting that this morning's gospel reading had to do with a woman bent over for 18 years. And what did our Lord say to those who criticized that he healed on the Sabbath day? He said, Satan had this woman down for 18 years. Anything and everything in this world is not done by God. God does not punish. It is evil that punishes. Satan and the one-third of the angels that followed him, as we read in the book of Revelation. That's why evil continues in the world, but it's soon fading. Because what our Protestant friends are saying about the future already happens. The Lord was ruling his church for 1,000 years. That was from 33 AD until 1054, when unfortunately, then the Bishop of Rome decided to break away from the other bishops, because there were five bishops, a pentarchy, that had the church of our Lord one and united. And it's interesting to know that until, as I mentioned last night, briefly I believe, for 1,500 years there were only two large Christian bodies in the world. Our church, made up of the Patriarch of Jerusalem, Alexandria, Antioch, and Constantinople, and unfortunately the Bishop of Rome, who broke from the other four and started the Western interpretation of Christianity. That's for 1,500 years. Where did the other 30,000 Christian denominations come from? Because America has that many. After the Holy Bible was printed, as I mentioned last night, and boy, are there mistakes in that Holy Bible in the translations. Because no one, unfortunately, knew the New Testament Greek after 1,550 years, when printing was established in our country and in the world. And unfortunately, the differences in the teachings of Christianity are only 100, 200, or 300 years old from those who interpret Holy Scripture. And I tell my Protestant friends, it's not your fault. The translations are very faulty. And that is why they have so many interpretations of what Christ and the church are all about. There are people who call themselves Christians who don't believe in Jesus Christ. There are people who call themselves Christians that don't believe in the cross of Christ. What does St. Paul say? I marvel not in anything but in the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so as we are approaching the birth of our Savior, we are reminded through these scriptural readings that we no longer follow the commandments. We no longer follow the commandments. You remember last Sunday's gospel reading, a young man followed all the commandments. And the Lord said to him, one thing you lack, what's that? Give everything you have to the poor and follow me. He couldn't do it because he was very rich. Had he broken any commandment? No. There was no commandment that said you have to give money to the church or to the temple or to the synagogue. So he had not broken any commandment. It wasn't there. That's why someone asked in the crowd, well, how can these people be saved? And what was our Lord's answer? God will save them. When he said God will save them, he was thinking about his crucifixion on the cross and his soul leaving his perfect body, because he was not a descendant of Adam and Eve as you and I are. We grow old and die, if not for any other reason but old age, because we have inherited the imperfect nature, not the guilt. Some Christians say we inherited the guilt. No, guilt is not passed down from generation to generation. That is totally false. The result of Adam and Eve's guilt is in our fallen nature. Christ did not receive any nourishment for the embryo in her womb to become Christ. That is why in the book of Isaiah, and we heard in the epistle reading from Galatians, Paul saying that when Abraham had the son, his son Ishmael, by the servant of Sarah, they did follow a law. But when it came to the Virgin Mary, she's not mentioned as the Virgin Mary, but Isaiah says she had no birth pangs to indicate what we read in the Old Testament, that the Holy Spirit put the seed in the woman who was not married. And the woman who was not married has more children than the married woman. What does that mean? The members of the church, the members of the body of Christ. She is our mother. And she has more children than any married woman in all of creation. So here we see from the gospel reading our Lord saying that the time of the commandments is over, because he was seeing himself on the cross. He was seeing his perfect human soul descending into Hades and releasing hundreds of millions of souls there. One example, read the first epistle of St. Peter. What does St. Peter say? John the Baptist had to go first into Hades as the forerunner to announce the coming of the Savior to those people who died during the days of Noah. It's there. Because many people who died in the Old Testament period had never heard of the teachings of God's eternal kingdom coming upon humanity. And it's there right in those words of St. Peter. And so then, if we don't have commandments to follow, what do we follow? Agape. Agape is the highest form of love in the Greek dictionary. You start from storge, eros, philia, you go up and up. Agape love is divine love. This is why Orthodoxy teaches God is love. I don't say it. St. John says it in his first epistle. God is love. What does this mean? His nature is divine love. Whatever God does, he does out of love. That's why God never punishes. Those who will suffer eternally will bring self-punishment upon themselves, because agape love, when it's not used properly, it reverses the, what can I call it? Not the virtue. It reverses the practice of love. And what is that? Self-inflicted pain. God doesn't punish. This is why St. Paul says again and again that it is the love of God, and faith. We don't use commandments now. We use our intellect and our free will. We decide whether we want to accept Christianity, whatever expression of Christianity we want or not. I have said before, maybe I've said it to this congregation before, I do not proselytize. What does that mean? I don't try to make someone an Orthodox Christian. Why? Because I'm interfering with the free will that Christ gave to every human being. That's our gift, our intellect and our free gift of free will. And I will not interfere with a person's free will trying to convince him that I'm right and he's wrong. That's why I said, I think yesterday, I never argue with people because it's who wins the argument, you know? And probably the wrong person might win it. I don't know. So we have to be very, very careful today because there is a confusion in regard to what Christianity is because of what we are hearing, and more people are leaving their interpretation of Christianity because, unfortunately, as I mentioned last night, we are going into another philosophy which continues the evolution of Charles Darwin. And what did I say last night? What was the word I said? Anyone who was here. What are people teaching today? Our children. Transgenderism. Our children are being asked, what part of the transgender syndrome do they belong in? And I was shocked, and I believe I said it last night, two very wonderful young men just graduated high school in Texas. They went to Massachusetts and enlisted at Boston University. And their parents told me when I was down in Texas last week that one of their entrance examinations was to study transgenderism and find out where they belong. Now, so far I've heard of 90 different kinds of transgender identifications. I love our God. He just gave us two genders, male and female. I ain't going to go that other direction. And when they tell kids to do it, I'm afraid some of these kids are going to do themselves in. Because how can you give this kind of logic to a growing youngster? That's where we're at, people. And so let us hold on to the traditions and the teachings of the church. Our Lord said his church will never fade from the earth. And this is why we're here. And I do say to my very educated friends, clergy and laity, in spite of us, the church goes on because of the Holy Spirit. We try to be as harmonious as we can with the teachings, but we too make our errors, and hopefully we do correct them at the right time. But this is where we're at, people, and so it is a time when more and more people are leaving one philosophy or one religion and adopting another, and we're doing that to our kids. I cannot understand the professors in Boston University giving entrance exams to students and giving them this transgender paper, whatever it looks like, and tell them to identify what part of transgenderism you belong. And so we are truly blessed. We are truly blessed. One more thing, allow me to say, because as a teenager, I felt I should leave my church and go elsewhere. I visited Protestant churches. I loved the Roman Catholic Church near our neighborhood because they were singing in Latin, and I loved the music. And I even went to Jewish synagogues, and I was just interested in religion. But what kept me in the Orthodox Church? In Greek, we say, I'm from the generation of etsi ine. That's the way it is. When we ask Christians, why does the priest do that? Etsi ine, that's the way it is. Why did that happen today? Etsi ine, that's the way it is. You know, my parents came as teenagers in America. My mother, anyway. They didn't know the faith. They didn't know orthodoxy. But what was it that kept us? Love, family, and feeling that we belonged. And that's the whole concept of any really Christian congregation. That we care for one another. We are family. We are all sons and daughters of a loving God who created us so that ultimately when he returns, we'll gather those who want to be with him into his coming kingdom. That's what we're all about. And Father Anthony reminded me that I said something a while back because he was talking about problematic situations. And I believe I told him I never look back, I always look ahead. It's where I'm going, I'm interested, and not where I was, you know. And a very good friend of mine said, don't look back unless you want to go in that direction. And I don't want to go in that direction. I don't want to live my life again. Well, once was enough, and that was it, you know. I'm looking for something better. And so let us pray more often. That's the bottom line. Private prayer. What does our Lord say in the Gospels? Close yourself in the closet and pray to God yourself. Talk with God. He doesn't answer vocally, loudly, but he gives you, he gives to you the feeling, the spirit that you need in order to continue on. Because the problems in this world are increasing drastically. And we should not ever allow ourselves to relate our lives with the problems that are increasing. Because we are then falling victim to the evil forces that are increasing just a little longer before our Lord returns to gather his people for his coming kingdom. I pray that all of us and many, many, many more will greet one another in that everlasting kingdom when that great and glorious day comes. Amen.